Scripture reading for tonight is from Matthew chapter 5. Please join me as we look at this passage. I'm going to read the first few verses there. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 4, that's what I'll be reading. And then our text is verse 4 for tonight. Page 1501, 1501 in your pew Bible, as we consider the Beatitudes again. We're in a series on Beatitudes, and we look at the second one tonight. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds, "Thanks be to God." Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is our text for tonight. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear believers gathered in the Lord Jesus Christ, so last week we began a series on the Beatitudes. Beatitude. That word refers to what again? Beatitude is Latin, and it means blessed. So we look at the different blessed are thes. In Matthew chapter 5, there are eight of them in Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount. So last week we introduced the topic. Where does Jesus declare? Where does Jesus preach? Where does he give his beatitudes, his blessings again? Sure, on the Mount. Jesus, if you remember, is the second Moses. As the first Moses gave God's commandments, his word on the mount, so does Jesus do it here now again. Jesus gives the new law for the new Israel, that is the followers, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives his new law in his Sermon on the Mount, but before he does all of that, he reminds us of the context in which he gives us his new law. He declares his grace. This is the context. It is his beatitudes, blessings. "Blessed are the poor in spirit," says Jesus in his very first beatitude. That is, blessed are those who know that they are poor in and of themselves, that they are nothing in and of themselves. They have nothing to boast except the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such people are blessed. They have the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus. They have God's rule in their lives right now. Not in the future, no, but right now. And so they are blessed. I appreciate when Jesus announces his blessing, he doesn't just wish people a nice blessing. No, he enacts his blessing. Something happens when he speaks these words. He gives his blessing. And he's able to do it because he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is God in the flesh. Praise his holy name. So last week, then, we introduced our series, and we looked at the very first beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Tonight, we look at the second beatitude, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Congregation, notice the assumption Jesus has with this particular beatitude. He assumes that there are mourning people in this world. He assumes that there are mourning people in his crowd. Sure, that's what we have in this world, people who mourn. And the reason why people mourn is because people die. Death is all around us, isn't it? You know, it's been said that there are two things that are very certain in this world, death and taxes. Well, I don't know about the taxes, because if you're on a deserted island, you're not going to be paying any taxes. But death, there is no escaping that. We all die. And no matter which way you cut it, death is always hard. Death is an enemy. That's what Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. He calls it the last enemy. The last thing, the last rotten thing to be removed from this world when Jesus Christ returns again is death. Death is hard. What does death do? Death breaks bonds. It breaks relationships. And it's so final. When a couple is happily married and death takes one away, then we have such a tremendous gaping hole in our lives. It hurts so much. And so people mourn. It's something we all have. It's something we all do. We all have lost loved ones. You know, in Jesus' day, people didn't have immunizations. They didn't have doctors. They didn't have cancer clinics. They didn't have chemotherapy. They didn't have radiation like we have today. And so death in those days was all over the place. For many, mourning was simply a way of life. Jesus spoke to such people right away at the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Congregation, who was Jesus actually referring to here, though? He was not necessarily referring to just any or all who mourn. No, no. He's referring to those mourners who were his disciples. He's referring to those people who were his followers. He's referring to those mourners who called Jesus their master and their Lord. Understand then, not all people who mourn in this world are really comforted. Not by Jesus, they're not. Sometimes it amazes me how people who don't know Jesus manage to find some kind of comfort in their lives. Somehow they're able to hold their own, I guess. But when you look at what actually comforts them, we see that what comforts them is so fragile. It is so very weak. It is so comfortless. And so people find comfort in drugs and alcohol. It doesn't work. People find comfort in their clothes and their riches and their idols of this age. It doesn't work. Some people find comfort in themselves. Now that's a good one. Find comfort in yourself. Or they find comfort in stoicism. You just push your emotions away. They handle this by just grinning all things and bearing it. That doesn't work very good either. People who find comfort in these things find comfort in that which is really rather shallow, trivial, cheap, and ineffective. And so when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn," who is he referring to? He's referring to his followers, his disciples, his body, the church. They will be comforted. Actually, we should examine that a little more closely. Who really is the person who is comforted in our text? It's the person who feels the loss of a loved one, yes, but more, he also mourns the reality of his own sin. Hear me out on this. Who's the person comforted in our text? He's the person who mourns his sin. He's the person who knows that sin is what causes death. Which is true, isn't it? I'm not saying that my particular sin can immediately lead to someone else's particular death. No, although sometimes that can happen. My point is, we all sin. And all sin collectively always leads to death. That's what causes death in our world. It's sin. That's how it works in this world. When sin enters the one end of the machine, then what comes out on the other is death. Death is the result of sin. It's the fruit of sin. How does Paul say it in Romans 6, verse 23? The wages of sin is death. That's our payment, death. And so, who is the person who is comforted in our text? It's the person who acknowledges his sin, grieves his sin, mourns his sin, because he knows that it is humanity's sin that has brought forth death. At the funeral, the follower of Jesus Christ, he does not say, God, I'm mourning the loss of my loved one, and I'm mad at you because you are the one responsible for this. No, no. At the funeral, the follower of Christ, he says, God, I'm mourning the loss of my loved one, and I'm also sad because I know that I have also contributed to this. I too have sinned. I know that the wages of sin is death. And so if I may push this a little further, if I may add to this, again, who's the person who then is really comforted in our text? It's the person who mourns, grieves his sin, mourns the loss of a loved one because of sin, and pleads on the mercy of Jesus Christ. He looks to Christ as his master, and he calls on his name. He boasts nothing in himself, but boasts everything in Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus, you deliver me. Deliver me from sin. Deliver us all from sin. Deliver us all from death. Bring forth your kingdom, for you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's to that person that Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Interesting how Jesus words that. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus uses a future tense here. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who mourn, for they are comforted. No, he says, they will be comforted. That's interesting. It's interesting that in the first beatitude, Jesus uses the present tense, right? There he says again, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He uses the present tense there because what Jesus applies there is a present reality for the true follower of Christ. In the second beatitude, however, Jesus uses the future tense. And I think we can understand why. When death occurs, especially when it is so tragic, no one is ever immediately comforted. It doesn't work that way. Especially when there is a tragic death, what people experience, if anything, is a lot of shock. That's what they experience. Or maybe numbness, I suppose. Sometimes loved ones don't know what they feel. The reality of the tragedy has to sink in. That's why in our text, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What Jesus means to say here is, sometime it's going to happen. We may not know exactly when, but it will happen. And congregation, why can we be sure about that? Why? Because of Jesus Christ and what our Master has done for us. And what did he do again? Jesus killed death. How do you like that? Jesus killed death. He did so in his resurrection. Just a quick review of the benefits of the resurrection. What are the benefits of the resurrection again? I think of Lord's Day 17 of the Heidelberg Catechism. One of the shortest Lord's Days in the Catechism, but one of the most packed. The Catechism asks in Lord's Day 17, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us? And it answers, First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death. That means he's killed it. He's killed death. Also, that we may be made right with God. Second, says the Catechism, by his power, we too are already now raised, resurrected to a new life. What that means is, because Jesus killed death, we can have something of his resurrection power in us now. We may have the seeds of death in us, we may yet die, and yet we live because his resurrection power is there somewhere. And third, says the Catechism, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection. You follow? Because Christ killed death, someday we all will too. Someday we will all be resurrected into a new heavens and a new earth, no less. Revelation 21, John says there, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" All this sure to be because of Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." If it doesn't happen now, for sure it will happen then. Although, notice that first word again, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn." What he means there is, blessed right now are those who mourn. Followers of Christ who mourn, they're still blessed right now. They may be comforted in the future, but they're still blessed right now. They may not feel blessed. If truth be told, they may feel cursed. But that's not really the case, though. They are blessed. How can we say that? Romans 8, verse 28. There Paul writes, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." That text implies that we are blessed right now, even in the midst of our pain, our sorrow, and our mourning. Yes, sometimes we may feel like there's no grace. But again, how does Paul say it in Romans 8, verse 37? He says, "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And Paul continues, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here's the point. When we are not separated from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord, that means no matter what the circumstances, we are blessed. I guess that's why Christians are always able to stand tall somehow, even in the midst of mourning. They may mourn, they may feel sad, very sad, but they know somehow up here, and they know it right here, that God in Christ is beside them, and he's working something out. He's working out his grace somehow. He's blessing them somehow, and they know that in time, they also will be comforted. Jesus promises that. In our text, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Amen.